Jay Schreck, Lost Highway. How's everybody doing in Radio Land out there? It's everybody's week, man. With the pandemic, you know what I'm saying? The pandemic has changed our worlds, changed our life, right? I mean, whose life is exactly the same as it was before this started? Some things are better. You know, how can that be? How can anything be better? Well, traffic. You know, I live in here in the desert Southwest, and a lot of people from Wisconsin want to come here when it's cold, and traffic can be a bitch. I'm just going to let you know that traffic can be a bitch here. So it's not been so bad as far as that goes, but you know, just some of the stuff that you used to where you go eat and you get a routine and you know what? Yeah. Bitch. You know, we all got to deal with it, right? Is everybody comfortable taking this new vaccine? Is everybody comfortable with the fact that you might be getting loaded up with antifreeze? Have we pushed it out too fast? Have we not taken the precautions? Are we not going fast enough? Are we not getting it to the right people at the right time? Is there going to be any long-term effects now that we are basically the guinea pigs, right? Isn't that true? We're the guinea pigs. I mean, they haven't had time enough to test it, but sometimes you can't wait that long, right? I understand that. I get that. You know, on the Lost Highway, you see a lot of stuff on the Lost Highway that makes no sense at all. No sense at all. I want to thank you guys for coming along. Hopefully, we're getting out in the 28 time zones out here in the nether regions, as Adam Liu says. I love Adam Liu. That's another story in itself. But I'll tell you, you know, I've been doing a lot of research about a lot of stuff, which I'm sure everybody out there, I mean, you wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't people that love to do the research and get into this and read the stuff and the dreams about conspiracy theories. Conspiracy Theory 101. So I was doing a study on the Kennedys, and I've been fascinated by the Kennedy family to begin with, just this whole concept of what they do and how they do it. And from Joe back and the, you know, and looking at the political system, not as everybody wants to get in the war today, but, you know, we want to think today that what's going on is so bizarre. And it's absolutely not bizarre. This stuff has been going on since the beginning of this democracy. You know, it's never changed. It's always been going on. And we want to think that this is all new stuff. And this is old stuff. This is history, folks. If you know your history, and you don't got to know all of it. I don't know all of it. Nobody does. But I know enough to know that this is not new stuff. History repeats itself. This has happened before. I mean, you look at these people that do this for a living, and I'll go back to just the thought process again of the 1%. So let's talk about the 1%. That's not me, and it's probably not you. You're probably not listening to this podcast if you're the 1%. Be cool if you were. It would be neat if you were, but you're not. You're too busy running shit. You're too busy running shit in the ground. You're too busy buying yachts. You're too busy running the world. You're too busy worried about global economy, not the local economy, but the global economy. You're too busy doing whatever you want and not allowing other people to do it. You're the 1%. You're not red and you're not blue. You're gray. You're dark. You're probably evil. But you're the 1%. And you're not the left or the right. You're that small portion of people that have been born into a world that is different. Or you may have made it. And then when you got there, the power and the money and the greed, well, it changes you. You know, when I look at these people, though, and I look at the thought process of, you know, they're evil because they took the millions or they took the 15 million or they signed the papers and they did this kind of stuff that made them just filthy rich. I've never been staring down that barrel of a gun before where somebody said, say this, do this, sell your soul over here, and what you're going to get is wealth beyond all your wildest dreams, right? Your wildest dreams. Never been in that position to be able to make that call. And, you know, we always want to say morally, yeah, would I do the right thing? Oh, hell yes, I would. But would you? I can't answer that. I've never been there. I've never had, never looked down the barrel of that gun. You know, I was in a Jack in the Box one time and, I walked in and a guy had the cashier. He was behind the counter with a gun and he pointed it right in my face. And something said, I'm not going to die in this building today. But my life was like right in front of me. And I walked out the door and he should have shot me. Thank God he was not skilled or, but you know, my world flashed in front of me. When you're looking down the barrel of that gun and it's live and they ain't playing, shit gets real. Shit gets really real. So I can't say that if I was in that position and could get $110 million, if somebody went and said, hey, Jay Schreck, here's $1,000,010. But if shit gets hot and it gets deep, you're going to have to walk a fine line. I mean, there's an advantage to being poor. There's an advantage to not having an audience. There's an advantage to being able to be free. And there's a disadvantage from walking the line and towing the line. And it's always money. When people with money got power, and if they got power, they do things. You know, we've talked on here about Epstein. All you had to do is wait till these girls got to be 18 years old. Why wouldn't you wait? Well, that ain't what it's about. I guess I don't get that. And this is something I'm glad I don't get. I don't get everything. And I'm glad, even though I have conspiracy theories, I don't get that. But he got it. And he knew that that was bait. And that must come with the 1%. That comes with that money and that power. And then what's next? You know, having things you're not supposed to have because you're a little bit better than everybody else, right? You're a little bit better. You're not going to have to pay for your sins. You're going to have to be able to walk down that road doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, right? I know you out there, you 1%. But see, some things I don't get and some things I'm not unhappy or sad that I don't get. But there's some things that I don't get that I want to know. You know, I guess, though, as I look through conspiracy theories and I look at this Kennedy family and I look back at just the insanity of these guys. And, you know, I don't look at Jack Kennedy as being worse or better. I look at all of them the same. They're the same guy. They put on different color hats. But they're the same guy, and everybody wants to paint it differently. They want to paint these guys differently. Well, he's on this side, and he's on that side. Bullshit. They're on the same side. They're the 1%. The 1%. And we've been getting fooled all our lives that this party does that and that party does that and they're different and they're this one's fighting for the working man and this one's fighting for the business and this one's fighting because you're too stupid to know what you're doing and this one's fighting because we're too smart to be told what to do. And somewhere in the middle is where all this needs to be, but those people don't come to the middle. There's no middle. They don't want a middle. The goal is not to make this calm and comfortable. The goal is to keep each end pushing and pulling and not getting anything done and continuing to get paid by these companies, these corporations, this healthcare industry, which is the biggest joke ever, the insurance companies, the Chinese. I mean, come on with this COVID. That's an assault. This is an assault. This is like dropping a bomb on us and then making us look stupid. That's all this is. This was a war we didn't even know we were fighting because we're too busy pushing and pulling against each other. And it's only going to get worse, in my opinion. I wish I was wrong, but I don't believe that to be. So the Kennedys. So why am I fascinated with the Kennedys? Because the story never ended, right? The stories never ended. And we don't have one assassination. We have two. So now let's look at the odds. So what would the odds makers say the odds were of two brothers being assassinated? What would the odds makers in Las Vegas, Nevada, say that the odds of two brothers with political aspirations, with political clout, with a father that's a one percenter, right? What would the odds be? What would Jimmy the Greek lay down on the bar with that? It'd be high. It'd be damn high. So that's the first thing when we talk about coincidences. What's the odds of a coincidence, right? What's the odds? What's the odds of this being what we think it might be? Because you got to look at that, right? You got to look at the 1%. These are 1% people. They're not normal people. They don't do normal stuff, right? As a matter of fact, every time I say right, you got to take a shot. That's part of this game as well. So hold on. You're going to be drunk for the time we're done. I believe on the Lost Highway, you're going to be lit up. Okay. Okay. Don't count as a yes. Okay. So I might take a shot, but I may not. So you have two brothers that are both assassinated. So right now, you know, the odds on that is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And not an attempted either. Both of them were kills. Bobby was a 22. That was a 22 pistol, which they say is the best assassin gun anywhere. Well, the average guy wouldn't know that, right? The average person wouldn't know that that's the gun. Why? Because when the bullet goes in, it doesn't go through. It bounces around if you put it in the head, right? If it's a headshot. That's incredible, isn't it? So you look at these brothers, and neither one of their stories ended the day they died. They only got more complicated because they were more complicated before. John F. Kennedy was a mess, in my opinion. And so why would I say a mess? I mean, the life he was living, the extramarital affairs. And I say that extramarital affairs like it was like one or two. You shouldn't even call it that. Why don't you call it a horror fest? Because that's what it was. There's one gal that talks about she was 19 and she worked in the White House. And he basically, I would call it rape. She didn't because she was 19. She was a virgin. That's rape in the White House. I mean, she's 19 years old. That's incredible that could happen. I mean, but it's not incredible it could happen because once you realize that all these men are the same men, we want to say, oh, Reagan with this and oh, Johnson with this and oh, Tricky Dick was this. They're all the same. They're cut from the same cloth. They're the same guy. And I'm not going to say that there might be one out here on the outside that's a little different. But overall, if you check the odds, they're the same guy. They're 1%. And if you're 1%, you can't help yourself. It's just what you are. Who else would want to go through that style? Who else would want to go through that bullshit you got to go through? And the shit you do got to put up with to be in that role and the ego that you have to be that guy. It's incredible, right? It's incredible. So on the Lost Highway, what we're going to look at tonight is conspiracy theories. And we're looking at the Kennedy family. They were, a lot of this stuff, it kind of reminds me of the Lost Dutchman. You know, you have this story, but the big story is after the story. You know, what happened? How does this happen? We all know that LA is corrupt. We all know that LA police have always been corrupt. I mean, we do know, you know that even if you've never been there, you know, the LA police screw everything up. That's what they do. And maybe they don't screw it up. Maybe it's the plan and this is how they get rid and they do the deeds of the 1%. And that could be the truth. That could be actually the truth, but we don't know that to be a fact. You'd have to be an LA cop to know that. And probably what he'd tell you is, yeah, it's shady. It's all shady. It's always been shady. They're shady. And they deal with shady people. You know, LA's a hustle, man. You don't go there unless you're in the hustle. All the smart people get out of there. All the smart people know this is not the place to be because you're going to end up getting sucked into the void and you ain't getting out of the void. So you have two brothers. Now, so let's start back with the first point that really just, you know, why did they get killed? So why did they die? Not only did the fact that they both got assassinated, they both, one became president, one attempted to become president. He probably would have won, right? So that's a shot. So you look at that and you think, where did this come from? So if it is true that his father, Joe, who was a bootlegger, so we already know his reality. We already know we can judge him pretty much on that. He was doing illegal stuff, right? So he was a criminal. So let's just call it as we see it. Was he a criminal? He broke the law. So he's a criminal. He's a wealthy criminal. I believe it was Cutty Sark is what he ended up getting. Bootlegging is what he ended up creating this fame. And he became a rock star in his own mind and his own world as well as a one percenter. And he lived in Hollywood and had Hollywood starlets and did the Kennedy thing. That's what the Kennedys are great for. And they're known for was this lifestyle of this appetite for all things. And so it is thought that Joe Kennedy went to the mafia. They went to the mob and said, we want to win Chicago. Can you get the vote? And the story is that he did that. And the story is that they handed him Chicago. Now, that's just another Chinese deal. That's another McCain deal with all he sold out of Arizona. What a sellout. I mean, he sold Arizona to the English. And it's not that I don't like the English. It's the fact that I didn't want a plot of land that Eisenhower stated that would never be sold. He sold it, stuck it under a bunch of bills like they do. That's the dirty way. And so, you know, people can love McCain or what, but, you know, that's what I think of McCain. He's just a one. I don't even think he was a one percenter, but he was a wannabe one percenter. At least we know that, you know, he had two different colors. He wore all the hats and it was all for him, but that's again, my opinion. And so I'm not too much of a fan, but it is what it is. The Kennedys were given Chicago. Now, I come from Kansas City, and at one time in Kansas City, Missouri, it wasn't a Chicago, but it was a big time mob location. And you kind of understood, even though you may not know, just like not every Mexican knows cartels, but you know of them if you're there because everybody's involved. And so in the same thing in Kansas City, fast forward to or reverse forward to the times where the mobs were running Kansas City. It's a price to be paid. It's nothing free. There's never was anything free. So the first thing I looked at was that here is Joe Kennedy involving the mob in the presidency. So he's already wrote a check that he's going to have to cash. Somebody is. So there's your first strike of, okay, you are who you deal with. You are who you involved with. And here he is. He's involved. He's in deep with the mob. Strike one. You have an ambitious Bobby who you put in, you know, the worst job you could have put him in was the job you put him in. And what's he do? He causes a bunch of crap going after the people that his father. So we already know there's, and you could say that strike one on him, or you could say that strike two on Jack. I mean, there's so many things that the JFK did that is just so unbelievable. I mean, his affairs were so, I mean, the man stated that if he didn't have sex, he'd get a headache, and the president shouldn't have a headache, should he? Hell no, the president shouldn't have a headache. He's under a lot of pressure, and you got to relieve that pressure somehow, some way. Well, the amount of, and see, this is where it gets funny to me, because in those days, people kept quiet. People kept quiet. There's no social media. There's no stuff. There's no all stars. There's no, if I put this on my page, I'm going to get 8,000 million hits and I'm going to do it. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to do it. They didn't do that. And they might not have done it because they ended up in a pine box. There could have been fear of retribution. But anyway, they didn't talk. You know, JFK used to bring girls every day into the pool at the White House and have sex with them in the pool. He screwed every one of the people in his, I shouldn't say everyone, but most of the women that were there, they felt the wrath of Jack the Ripper. And so here's this guy, I don't care what he did or said. I mean, you look at his personal life, you know, look at all this stuff and his affairs with Marilyn Monroe and the gal from, I believe it was Sweden or Norway. I mean, it's on and on and on. There were hundreds of them. And Jackie knew, she knew this, you know. And so what's Jack do? He turns Bobby on to Marilyn Monroe. So she's having an affair with both of them. And she says she's not going to be passed around like meat. And she was getting passed around. But you know what? You go down the road, you go down. You can't blame somebody for pushing your car in the ditch if you drove it there. So you opened your door and you got what you got. I believe Bobby Kennedy killed her. I believe Bobby Kennedy killed Marilyn Monroe. I believe that. You know, most of these girls, like the one 19-year-old girl, she's an old lady now, but she's talking about what went on. But you just wouldn't do that. You wouldn't tell. And it's disgusting and it's ridiculous, but that's the way it was. And they wouldn't tell. And for some reason, for years, we've been trying to save the Kennedy reputation. The Kennedys have no reputation as far as, you know, you want to balance out the good versus the bad. I don't see that the good could ever come through. You know, he did what he's supposed to do, but you know what? You can't have a babysitter come over. You know, let's say you have a babysitter come over to your house. Let's do a little analogy. And I kind of look at this way as what the world is. You go over to the, you get your babysitter come over and you're strict. You will never whip your children. You'll never paddle them. You'll never spank them. Let's go spank, because that's really what I'm talking about. You'll never spank your kids, right? You'll never do it. Your father did that to you, and you'll never do that to your kids. And so you get a very reliable young girl to come over to your house, and you come home, and she spanked one of your kids for being rotten as hell. And you fire her. How dare you come into my house and spank my children? I'm the only one that spanks them, but I don't spank them. So then you hire you hire this guy to come over. I'm going to try a man this time. And And he's a pedophile. And you get approached one day. Do you know that you're leaving your children with pedophiles? Yeah, but he's nice and he doesn't spank them. That's what we're dealing with in America today. He's nice, but he doesn't spank them. It's more about don't hurt my feelings than it is what good have you done? And that's what we're fighting in the world today is feelings. You hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings. I guess the old saying would be, don't be a little bitch. I mean, you're going to get your feelings hurt. That's what's supposed to happen. I mean, you're supposed to grow from that and learn from that. You know, there's no recourse anymore for your actions. There used to be, you got your ass kicked. You got your face punched. Now there is nothing. So you keep running your mouth and running your mouth and running your mouth. And there's no recourse. Is it better? Is it worse? I think it's worse. You have people that start to give you shit that in it one day wouldn't have given you shit. And I'm not saying be a bully and I'm not saying go out and do that. But, you know, there's a point where you do have to stand up, grow a set of nuts and get in the game. So the Kennedy family was not one of my favorite wholesome families. Jacqueline knew what was going on. She had talked to Marilyn Monroe on the phone because Marilyn thought she was coming to the White House with Jack and that they were going to get married. That's how delusional she was. And she was having sex with his brother being passed around, and she was being passed around. And then they got in a big fight, Bobby and her, in her house. And he's trying to shut her up with a pillow. And she's a loose cannon. And she's on pills and she's on booze and she's doing all this stuff that's really scary to people in power, especially people that are getting ready to become the president. You don't need that kind of shit. You don't. You know, you're supposed to be a good girl and just do what I tell you to do and shut up. And Marilyn Monroe is not going to do that. And I believe they were afraid. And so magically, Marilyn Monroe, who was a lunatic, so I don't want to paint her in a picture of anything other than the fact that, you know, she was a pillhead. She was a lunatic. I mean, she was up and down. She emotionally was unstable. She had a lot of bad traits. It wasn't like he, you know, that she wasn't on the brink of doing something stupid anyway, because was she? Most likely she was. But the evidence said that she had enough sleeping tablet for 50 pills. I don't know about you. That's a lot of pills for anybody to take. That's a lot of pills. And I'm not saying that she couldn't. Wasn't any water in the room. She died at like 12:30. They didn't even call the police till what, 3 or 4? They said it was 3 or 4. They changed the time. So why did they change the time? She died when she died. You know, why did they spend the time to do whatever they did for what, 3 or 4 hours before they called the police? Now, isn't that suspicious? See, that's where conspiracy theories come from. I mean, she killed herself. She took too many pills. You called the police. They came at 1 o'clock, 12:45. They pronounced her dead. They said, hey, she's died of an overdose. They looked at the scene and she's dead and we're done. But it's never that way with the one percenters, ever. There's always some loose cannon, this loose theory. It's never tight. She killed herself. She took too many pills. Her live-in maid went to her room, saw the light was still on, the door's locked. She calls a therapist. The therapist comes over, breaks the window, comes in. Marilyn Monroe is dead on the bed. End of story. That's where it should have been. That's where it should have stopped. That's where it should have ended. It shouldn't have went any farther. But she has a fight with a presidential, a married candidate whose brother is the president, who's, I mean, on and on and on. It just goes on and on and on. And He knows she's a loose cannon. He's trying to shut her up. He's afraid that the neighbors are going to call the police. He knows it's not good. Isn't that funny that she had happened to die of an overdose? Isn't that funny? Not funny, funny, but you know what I'm saying. Conspiracy funny. 1% funny. So it should have been cut and dried. So what else could have happened? Well, I don't know. I don't know any other reason. If it was clean and it was just a suicide. Should have died of suicide. Should have been suicide on there. Should have been done. We should have been finished. But it wasn't that easy. And it wasn't that simple. And there wasn't any water in the room. So she go to the sink, take 50 pills, go on there. She could have. Probably not. If you know anything about Marilyn Monroe, how she liked to lay around, probably not. So wouldn't she have water next to her bed? I mean, and again, this never, and so do conspiracy people, are they just looking for conspiracies? Is that what it really is? I don't think so. I'm not looking for it. The story would still be weird regardless, because Bobby's coming up and his story is bizarre. It's insanely bizarre. We all know about JFK. We all know about the magic bullet. We all know about the book depository. We know about Dallas. Most everybody has done some type of research on that. Everybody's pretty well equipped to be able to have a discussion about the JFK assassination. We've seen so much of it. But Bobby's, not a lot of people have spent a lot of time, and it's more bizarre, in my opinion, than JFK's would ever be. And, there were a few things like the magic bullet. There's one of my favorite, the Umbrella Man. Umbrella Man! That's cool. I mean, it's cool, bad, but it's cool. I mean, just the stuff, right? The stuff that's out there. And all this different things. And there must've been multiple gunmen. And there's always multiple gunmen. I mean, but so we won't go into JFK. What we'll do is we'll talk about Bobby, right? Bobby. So he's giving a speech in this hotel in Los Angeles. Guess who lives in Los Angeles? And he gives the speech. He goes out and they change the route. So there's a gentleman waiting for him in the kitchen. And some people say two gentlemen, not one. It's in the kitchen, but they originally weren't planned, for the way I understand it, to go through the kitchen. They changed their route to go through the kitchen. Why'd they do that? So, okay, let's just say that people changed their mind. Hey, somebody, head of security said, no, let's go this way. Probably the same guy that brought Jack Ruby to the parking lot, that allowed him to into the garage. Probably that same guy, maybe, maybe they changed the path of Lee Harvey coming down and said, no, we're going to go through the garage because this guy that owns this bar that just happens to be in the garage. It's not a cop, but he's got a police clearance. And we're not going to get way deep into that one, but yeah, that's the same guy that said, no, I last time that I had Oswald come through, I made an error. This time with Bobby, I'm not going to make that error. I'm going to make a different decision. We're going to go through the kitchen of this hotel. And it's full of people. It's not like it's this event that took place. It's not like Marilyn Monroe, right? Where she died, but nobody was there. Nobody saw it. Nobody knows exactly, nobody saw her. Nobody saw her take it. This happened with pictures. It happened with, multiple people in the room. It happened with, in front of a live, basically, audience. And we still don't know what the hell happened. Now, how can that be? How could it be that you have people in this kitchen and they still can't decide what really took place. And is that what conspiracy theories are all about? Is it really about the fact that people see different stuff and a lot of us see stuff that isn't real? You know, do we see things that aren't real? Well, we must, we might. What else could explain it? Why else could explain two people seeing two different things? And then there's the LA, again, here we go back to the LA police who botched this thing completely as they do every case, and they have to do it on purpose because who in the hell is that incompetent? Come on. I just got to believe that. I want to believe that people are more competent than that, but maybe not. Maybe that's the problem is they suck. I mean, maybe they'll just cut it to the point or push it to the point of the fact that they suck. But I mean, I just can't believe that. Or, you know, that's what starts the fires of conspiracy is when one and one does not make two. It doesn't make anything. It doesn't sometimes even have a number. And that's the problem with this is that they don't have a number because it doesn't even add up to anything. And the more you start to add up, none of it makes any sense. So he goes to the kitchen and a gentleman named Sirhan, he'd never been in trouble ever in his entire life, has 22 pistol and he points at it at Bobby and he fires. And so that should be cut and dried. You have a man, he has the gun, he points the gun and he fires. And his first shot misses, basically. And then the second shot fires. And the second shot didn't miss. And at that point, one of the guys that's right there grabs him, grabs the gun. They tussle, but Sirhan unloads the gun. He unloads every bullet from the chamber into this crowd of people. There's 8 bullets. Now, 8's a good number, so remember 8. It's a revolver. He has 8 22 caliber bullets. And again, that would be my least favorite round to shoot somebody unless I knew I could get in close behind them for a kill shot because you need to put it in their head. You have to put it in their head on a 22. You could take 10 22 rounds and possibly live, maybe 20. So I would never have used a 22 caliber gun to do that. And again, maybe that's the problem is maybe that's why I'm not a good assassin because I don't know shit about killing people, I guess. But I would not use that gun unless I knew I could get a kill shot close enough to put it in his head. You know, with the old theory being that's the best assassination gun. But again, if you're not going to get close, really close, then it would not be my choice. But let's say that that's what he had. Let's say that, or that's what they gave him, that they, whoever they are, they. And he's Palestinian, okay? So that could be a political situation as well that he is Palestine. So he fires the gun, he empties the rounds, hits Bobby behind one of the shots. He shoots a bunch of people because he unloads it, shoots him right here, which would be a perfect kill shot. I mean, that's what you're wanting. That would be a perfect kill shot, but he's not behind him. So there's so many things in this story that doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense. There are 13 bullet holes is what multiple articles said, because there's a big deal now trying to get him out of jail because they're saying he did not kill him. He shot him, but he didn't kill him. You know, Kennedy shot 4 times. That's what it said, 4 times. The gun had 8 bullets. Shot him 4 times. There's 13 bullet holes. Okay, how in the hell is there 13 bullet holes in a gun that has, could it had multiple shots bouncing around? Could it, you know, it shot a bunch of people. So what, for another 4 people, I believe, 3-4, they got shot. And it doesn't add up. And then all of a sudden, this evidence, I can't find it. They had it. Now they can't find it. It's gone. Why would evidence get thrown away? Because even once he was convicted, he would have wanted, he would have had an appeal, and they would have needed all that evidence for the appeal, right? So why is the world, is conspiracy theories based on really people's inability to do their jobs? Is that really it? Or is there really something to it? And then they saw that the bullets didn't line up, and that now here's another, here's the cool part, and not cool enough. Cool if you like stories. Not cool that this whole deal is horrendous, regardless of what the guy did. He didn't need to be, you know, there's no excuse to execute him regardless. And that shouldn't be the penalty, regardless. But, you know, Sirhan did not like the fact that jet fighters were being sent to places that he didn't approve of and being used on his people, because he came as a kid here with his family. And it doesn't make sense why it never makes sense. I mean, why doesn't this stuff ever add up? Why can't one and one ever equal two? And it can't. I mean, do we just need more? Do we need to make this thing more? Is it just always simple? You know, I believe it's simple. I believe the mafia, I believe the mob killed, they killed JFK, and they used a loose cannon to do it. You know, they used a loose cannon to do it. But it could have been Russia. You know, he's got connection to Russia. So there's so many things out there that are just so funky. So it's funky. We're not talking about the funky Cole Medina either. We're talking about funky, weird, strange. Doesn't match. Doesn't look right. Doesn't line up. The dots don't line up. So when we look at this stuff, so here's all these bullets. Now, the girl in the polka dot dress. The theory of the new lawyers for Sirhan is that there's a second shooter.
There's always a second shooter. But when the bullets don't match, they either got to be ricocheting. How many slugs they find? Why does every question have another question instead of every question having a distinctive answer? Why did the slugs disappear? Because it needed to be tidied up, and it needed to be finished, and it needed to be done, and it wasn't done because they had a mess, because they either didn't have the ability to do a good crime scene or quality crime scene, or they didn't care, or they were getting paid by somebody else. Maybe somebody else is pushing the buttons. Maybe, you know, they had to clean him off. I mean, he was pissing off the mob. Bobby was pissing off the mob. He was after him. And I'm sure they said to themselves, we helped you, and now you're going to turn our back on us. You blew up the Bay of Pigs. You know, we agreed that you'd get us our casinos back, and you failed. Your brother failed, and you're going to pay the price. But I tell you what, Jackie believed that they were killing Kennedys. Jackie believed that she was going to be next on the list, and she left because of that. So she believed it. They're killing Kennedys, she said. And they were. The Kennedys had so many enemies. It could have been dozens of people that wanted to have them dead. I mean, dozens of people. I mean, as popular as he was on the outside, when you look at the inside of what he did, but again, he's not worse. He's not worse. If you want to have some fun, grab a president. I don't even care which one. I don't care what party, I could care less. And do a good research on them, and you're going to find out that there's this weird bloodline between a lot of them. You're going to find out that they did all this shit that was totally illegal, totally immoral, and totally unsafe for the public. And they all did this. And they all lived this way. And it'll scare the living hell out of you to do it. Because you'll realize that this whole world is this presidency type of thing. This whole political structure. You're getting sucked into a bunch of bullshits what's happening. But it's not new. It's just social media has changed all of it. But you have the right to be able to know it. But you're only going to get fed so much. And that's not new either. Ask William Randolph Hearst, the king, the god of yellow journalism. And he's the guy that started this shit. So when you go to Hearst Castle on Highway 1, look at one of the coolest places that blood ever built, that greed ever built, that immorals ever built. And it is fascinating. But you know what? It's built on the blood of people and the souls of people and the greed of people. So remember that when you see this incredible, unbelievable place. You know, people want to tear down statues of things that they don't agree with. I don't agree with Hearst Castle, even though I love it. It's beautiful. It's the coolest place ever. But what it stands for is bullshit. It stands for destroying people's lives through yellow journalism. And so here we are with the Kennedys, and we can't even tell you if there is one shooter or two. So a girl in a polka-dotted dress runs out before anybody knows this and tells a guy on the stairs in an alley, "We just killed Bobby Kennedy." And he said, "What? We just killed Bobby Kennedy." And they ran off. Two people ran off. And the cops kept saying, "No, that didn't happen." And he kept telling the people that saw these people. Now, nobody saw the shooting, though. So understand that. Nobody saw a second gunman. But they also stated that there were powder burns on the kill hole. And everybody says the guy, that would have been close. I mean, within a foot. And they said he didn't get that close to him. Who knows? And then all of a sudden, when they want to retry Sirhan, they also, the great thing, I mean, they went in to the courtroom as a defense was, "You know, we know that we did it. We know, you know, we did it. Just don't kill him." And that's the way they defended him. How'd you like to have that defense lawyer? Even if he's guilty, you'd want to at least get a swing that was a little better than that one. Let's just call this a day. Could Bobby Kennedy have killed Marilyn Monroe? I believe he did. I believe he did. They couldn't get it out. She was a loose cannon. She was going to tell the world, and he couldn't afford that. And again, what's she doing with Jack's brother? Okay, is that weird? I mean, is that weird? I guess not if you're a Kennedy, it's not weird. But these Kennedy women, come on. Is your power and your name so important that you don't have any morals at all? Come on. That's bullshit. I mean, so you're just as responsible as they were. Because if you put up with it, you accept it, then you own it. And, you know, all this stuff, you know, none of this stuff was supposed to get out before Jackie. You know, I mean, I guess she shouldn't have been chastised, but come on. We're adults. We're doing adult things, you know? And it was so important for what? For you to look right or be right? That whole era, what we thought was Camelot was Crap-a-Lot. I just made that up. You can use it if you want. Crap-a-Lot. That's what happens on the Lost Highway. Sometimes you go asleep at the wheel on the Lost Highway. So the girl in the polka dotted dress, right? They told people you didn't see a girl in a polka dotted dress. A polka dotted dress. They said a polka dotted dress. They didn't say a stripe. They said a polka dotted dress that was there, that was running out with a man. And they said, they told the people, the eyewitnesses, you did not see that. And the guy says, yes, I did see it. No, you didn't. Because that doesn't fit our agenda. And this doesn't fit how we're going to close this up and wrap this up. It's not going to look like we're idiots. We're going to look great. We're going to close this up. We got the guy that shot him. It's over. I don't care if there's 50 bullet holes. There's one shooter and this is it. And clean it up. I mean, the JFK assassination is a lot cleaner than this one. This is dirty. This is really dirty. But I think it's a lot more deep because of the individuals involved. But isn't it funny what the 1% gets away with? The 1%, that's what they want to do. The 1% rules the world. 1% believes that they know what's right for you. And you just need to shut up and do what we tell you to do because we're smarter and you're dumb. And we'll do what we need to do. And we'll clean our messes up as we go. And we'll do what we want to do. And you'll be okay with that. But I'm not okay with that. And you know why? I'd be okay with this story being closed. I'd be okay with just saying this is the way it was. I don't need it. I don't need a conspiracy theory. There's plenty of other stuff out there that is conspiracy theories. They become conspiracy. The more we dig into conspiracy theories, the more that we realize that they're not theories at all, that this is the truth and this is what these people do. Because once you understand the mind of the person doing the act and the capability that they have to do whatever they need to do to hold on to that power, there's things that just make me go, you know, that kind of go, you know, Hillary's emails when it talked about the devil's feast, it was supposed to be some reenaction. And it's like, that's weird. That's and this isn't this is people. This is a 1% discussion. So don't suck into that. They're all capable of it. It's not a party. It's a lifestyle. I don't know if you'd use that on a shirt or not, but it's the truth. It's how they live their lives. It's how they deal with it. You are less than. Shut up and do what you're told to do, and we won't have problems. Quit making things hard on us because we're helping you. You are too dumb to do what you need to do. We're going to help you. We need to help you because you're not smart enough to pour piss out of a boot. And then the other side says, we're so smart, we can do everything ourselves. We don't need you. But the reality of it is, we can't do everything ourselves. We don't have the capability. Not all the people in the United States have the capability to do everything. Oh, I got a Google password. I wonder what that meant. That means that we are in the last 5 minutes of the Lost Highway. And that means, hey, Jeff, that's the J of Jace Rack. It's time to roll up the windows, turn out the lights, and cruise down the highway, the Lost Highway. And so to wrap this up, I think we like conspiracy theories. We like to think things are deeper than they are. I think I enjoy that. I want them to be deep. You know, forever though, with the JFK, I've always been fascinated by the JFK story. And now I realize that everything I ever thought was a conspiracy theory, now 90% of it's true for sure. You know, and there's maybe the oddball thing out about whether there was a lone gunman at either one of those locations. But overall, all this stuff is true. I always thought, how in the hell could there be that many people that saw him with that many women and nobody said anything? and the world was just supposed to shut up and do what they're supposed to do, because I'm the leader of the free world, dude. I'll do what I want to do. And I kept thinking, so many people saw that there's no possible way that could be true. And then I learned through the years and years and years, and some of the disclosures that just came out recently, that it is true. And all these letters, these love letters. What the hell is guys doing writing love letters to these women all over the world? These are presidents. These aren't average people, but they're 1%. They're better than you. They can do what they want to do because they're 1%. They do not live under the rules that you and I live under. And so that's why things like that are possible. That's why, you know, conspiracy theories are for complicated people, because they have the ability to do complicated things. They have the ability to fly people to islands. They have the ability to entice presidents to fly to see underage girls. They have the power and the ability to give men what they want or women what they want. And it only costs a little piece of soul. I'm not going to take all of it. I'm only going to take a little slice. You've got plenty more where that comes from. What the hell is there a picture of Bill Clinton on Epstein Island in a blue dress? What is that? Come on. Is anybody grab onto this stuff and go, wait a minute, let's just stop. This email said this. Let's just stop and look at this. This is not, it just gets swept away because the elitists can do that. The 1% can do that. No, look over here. Don't look over there. Look over here. What the hell's Bill Clinton? And you know the guy's dirty. That ain't a conspiracy theory. He's dirty. He's always been dirty. He's always going to be dirty. And why would Hillary put up with that? Because she wanted to be the first woman president. But you know what? She was so dirty, she couldn't make it happen because she couldn't stay straight long enough to be able to not get into all kinds of trouble. She couldn't just stay straight for so long. And that's exactly what's going to happen to every one of these presidents as they go in. They can't keep it together long enough, because somehow they're missing something in their brains when you're a 1%er. You've got all that smart and all that wisdom at all those Ivy League schools, but you're missing, maybe what you're missing is humility. Maybe that's the key ingredient to all this, is humility. And you can't be a 1% and have humility. They'll keep doing what they do. I'll keep looking at what I'm looking at. I'll keep reading, following up, talking with people, getting more in depth in the story. And with these two guys, the crazy thing is it just gets weirder. It doesn't like lock down a road and then you stop. There's just another bend on the lost highway that somebody opens another door in your brain and goes, oh my God, here it comes. Here comes another whammy. 13 bullet holes out of a gun that carries 8 bullets. What is that? That should be stop. Let's figure this out. Nobody go any farther. Nobody's going home until we figure this out. But that's never what happens. Maybe we as citizens don't accept that. Maybe we need to have things clean and locked down and done. You know, we need you to be nice. You can't be disruptive. You need to be nice. Don't hurt my feelings. Tell me what you want me to know. And don't spank my children, right? Hey, I'm Jay Schreck. We go live every Saturday and Tuesday on the Lost Highway. I'm glad you guys could come along tonight. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. If you'd like to get a hold of me, Jay Schreckler, JSCHRECKLER at Yahoo. If you've got anything you'd like to hear, anything that you would like to see, any questions or comments, please get a hold of me. Jay Schreck on the Lost Highway. Adios, amigos.
Mm-hmm.